Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller. For the next couple of hours, talking sports with you. Well, there's at least the weekend. Now, this week may be a little bit different. But anyways, thanks for joining us here this morning as we're with you up until noon. BMW Des Moines guest list looks like this. We'll head to L.A. Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com. He is there covering the All-Star festivities. Of course, you can read Matt at CBS Sports. He is their MLB, one of their columnists. He'll join us to, at the bottom of the hour. Then Iowa State and Iowa in hour number two. Nick Olson kicks things off as TJ Otzelberger adds a big piece to the recruiting stable. He'll join us, not TJ, but Nick will at 11:05, and then Scott Dockerman, who wrote a lengthy piece. He told us it was coming, and we hoped there would be in time for our show, and it was. Brian Ferentz, an analysis of game plans. One worked, one didn't. It's a long read. I'm glad I stuck through it and got through it as we kind of got inside Brian Ferentz's head a little bit. Some of the comments to be expected, interesting to say the very least. But again, The Athletic, at least to me, and I think I can put words in Trent's mouth here, proving the subscription is well worth the money. So the British Open has come and gone. The first half of the baseball season has come and gone. I guess we should start with the golf. It was entertaining. It was even more entertaining for you and I, as we both had the winner at 28-1 in Cameron Smith, which was a good hit there. And boy, oh boy, that back nine! What a start for his! I mean, what a performance out of the young Aussie is Rory McIlroy, who looked like, boy, it's his tournament, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And Trent, the crazy part about it is, it's not like he imploded. He hit every green in regulation. I saw a stat that since they being golf people started keeping stats, it's the first time in the history that the guy who had the lead after 54 holes hit every green in regulation in his final round, didn't win. First time ever. And Rory McIlroy hit every green in regulation and was not good enough. He couldn't make a putt. I mean, yeah, he could make his first putt.
Absolutely.
He left a lot of them. I mean, tap-ins, just, I was torn. You know, I've had McIlroy. I like his story. I think he's the face of golf. Or is about to be anointed.
Fair? Face of the PGA Tour.
Face of the PGA Tour. Put it that way. Tiger probably always will be, yeah, right? At least, to a much lesser extent, but Jack is Jack. Rory is the here and now, and kind of torn, but then I knew that, you know, my safety net was 28-1 on Cam Smith.
Same thing. And that's exactly what my thought process was, because we identified both those guys. I talked about the narrative all week long. It felt like everything was pointing to Rory, the 8-year drought, the last time it was at St. Andrews and having a great opportunity, and then he hurts himself playing soccer.
Right.
Screwing around with his buddies and gets hurt before that, as everything looked like it was going to culminate in that great run that he was having at that time, and of course didn't happen. It felt like everything was there, and through Saturday, he was all systems go. It was everything was working, and it wasn't the putting stick. He was so close on so many of those putts, and it wasn't he was leaving things short, or it was mishits. It was greens that he would just miss.
He didn't choke.
No.
I've heard choke. He didn't choke.
And not only that, if there were other ways that this tournament would have played out, you could have gone that route. Cam Smith went and won it.
Mm-hmm.
He went and won this golf tournament.
And Cameron Young almost did.
Absolutely did. And there's another young star on the
list.
Take a look at his results this year, what he's doing. And he's going to be Rookie of the Year in the PGA Tour.
Is he really?
You look at what he has done in terms of top 10s, top 20s. Now, he's got to finish one because he's been second now three different times. But he is a young star that's going to be right, and he can bomb the ball.
Well, Trent, the 18th hole is a perfect example. He needs to make eagle on 18 to have a chance. And he makes eagle on 18. Tie for the lead. Now Cameron Smith had, he have about a 3-footer for birdie to win the championship. What a round of golf. It was fascinating. And it was over by 1 o'clock.
Yes, it was. It went very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we were at the swimming pool. So that was a DVR for me.
Yeah.
And again, another one of those decisions. Do I look at my phone? Got there at 11:30.
You should have logged into your account.
Well, I waited for that one to see exactly how everything played out. But you make the decision, all right, do I wait? And then I saw there was a replay starting at 3 o'clock of like the last 2 hours, 3 to 5 on NBC.
Perfect. On real NBC?
On real NBC.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. So then the track and field that was on afterwards, so bounced over to that, was able to watch that. I had it also on the DVR if I missed anything from beforehand, mm-hmm. So kind of fast-forwarded through it last night, but more than anything, just watching the difference. And for Cam Smith, who was brutal for his standards.
On Saturday. Terrible.
He was awful.
Shot 73.
And he's a guy that, it's all about the putter.
Yeah.
When we talked about him this week, that's what we talked mm-hmm. about. And these greens and the way that it plays, you want to have. I know statistically there are a couple of guys that are right up there. For my money, though, it's not even close. You're talking about a guy with a putter. Mm-hmm. He is better than everybody else to the nth degree.
Trent, he had 12 putts on the back nine. Rory had 18.
Just think of that.
That's crazy.
You can't. No. He went and won the tournament. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the narrative.
What did he start? Birdie on his back nine. Birdie. Five in a row? I think it was five in a row.
Five birds
to begin the back nine.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this not a Rory collapse. It makes Cameron Smith a champion.
Yep, well put. He won it.
He went
Rory up. Didn't lose it. Well, he did, but you get my point. Right. He didn't give it away. He really didn't.
No. And most days, Rory doesn't putt like that.
No.
He doesn't have 18 punts at the back nine. He doesn't have 36 punts.
A couple of them
round.
Drop.
Yeah.
But he hit every green in regulation. He wasn't spraying it all over the place. And when he would get a little bit of trouble, he was good enough to get out of it.
Victor Hovland, good for him to be in that spot.
Yeah.
You can tell it was a little shaky, but this is mm-hmm. another guy that is going to have certainly an opportunity, I think, to win multiple majors in his career. I think he's that talented that this is going to be a guy, as we go through our list every major, all right, who's got a chance? And we go down Colin Morikawa, Xander mm-hmm. Schauffele, mm-hmm. Tommy Fleetwood, that group of guys. He is another one now, I think, that we have to officially at least, you got to have him on your sheet every week, and then you got to make that decision.
Right.
Are we going to bet him? Where are we going to play him? Those kind of things. Victor Hovland's now part of that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you'll bet again this week. I'll take.
You got 260 some days off.
Is that what it is? 260 days until the Masters. It was fun. I love the majors. I speak for a lot of people. There was great theater all season long. Boy, it felt like it was going to be Rory's tournament. It really and truly did. But as Trent said, Cam Smith won it. Rory didn't give it away. He makes one or two of those putts. And as he normally does, we're talking about a different golf tournament. Wasn't to be. Spieth was in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Johnson spinning his wheels a little bit. He was close. DeChambeau, he had a pretty good showing.
I told you there was one live golfer I like coming into that tournament. It wasn't DJ.
It was Bryson DeChambeau. He played pretty well. He was top 10, was he not?
Yes, he was. His top 20, which I played, was plus 395.
For a top 20?
For a top 20. That one,
that surprises
me. Very happy with it.
That's a generous pick.
So we both got Cam Smith. Made money on that.
Yep.
The champion, what their final hole score, lost that one.
That's right, he had par, he made birdie,
so that was an L on that one. But overall, this was a very profitable tournament, mm-hmm. and now we got baseball here for the next couple months before football to lose all that money that I just made.
So will you bet the Home Run Derby tonight? I mean, you have to pick something when Circus Play of the Day comes up.
Absolutely, it's on the list, uh-huh. and I've been digging around, seeing what else is out there. There's not a whole lot, seeing if there's any soccer that catches my fancy, not seeing a whole lot there.
Well, you know what I did yesterday after watching the Twins get absolutely crushed? Ooh. I bet Dylan Cease to win the Cy Young.
What'd you get him?
11-1.
So is this your first in-state future bet that you made like that?
Since we've been allowed to do so, this is my first toe in the water.
So you got Dylan Cease at 11-1. That is a great bet.
Why not, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Verlander, I mean, I don't want this to happen mm-hmm. to the guy, but he is getting up there in age, misses a couple of starts.
They're going
to
coast into the number two mm-hmm. seed because of that. Houston, how many starts are they going to skip a Verlander late?
That's just it. And they're going to have to ride Cease because mm-hmm. this is going to be a hell of a fight. This is a good baseball team, the White Sox, Trent.
They're
a good
very talented
team. Yep.
They're a talented team. I don't know if they're a good baseball team. They're a talented baseball team.
So when you don't think they can represent the American League, I'm kind of with you.
Especially their path that they would have to go through, more like Houston, mm-hmm. than the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them winning a series right. against a team like that. I can't see
but
them
winning. But to come right back and to beat both of those heavy heads in back to back. Yeah, that's a tough ask. But that's a talented roster, and Cease has been unbelievable. By the way, since we're going down the sports betting landscape here, just real quick, we'll get to baseball in a second. So I went to my DraftKings account this morning. Boy, they've got some fun props on the front page. Did you look at any of those?
Was it the one that was like the Iowa connected one?
The
with
tight
George
end
Kittle?
U.
Yes.
Tight end U. This you can get +386 if both of these happen, this two-event parlay. Iowa wins more than 5.5 conference games, and George Kittle has over 66.5 receptions. If both of those things happen, you get +386. That's pretty good.
That's fun.
The one that made me laugh the most?
Yeah.
Zach Wilson and the Cougars. You know, that's quite a story. And did you see his mom and his mom's friends? I don't know, is it a TikTok or a tweet from last week? It's pretty funny.
Okay.
I had no idea that Zach Moms Wilson is so prominent on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Instagram is her
favorite.
Is that
her thing?
Yes.
Well, social media then. Mm-hmm. But they're playing it up and they're having some fun with this. So Zach Wilson and the Cougars. Zach Wilson has over 22.5 passing yards and BYU over 8.5 regular season wins. So that one was pretty darn funny.
That's good stuff.
That is pretty good. I got a chuckle out of
that. One other one, because I saw the same thing when I was on DraftKings, and it popped out to me. How about this one? Coast to coast. Can New York and California go with the winning championships for the World Series? You get both the Mets and the Yankees. And then for the Super Bowl, you get the 49ers, the Chargers, the Rams.
You also get the Dodgers.
No,
you don't. You don't have to have the Dodgers.
Oh yeah, and the Dodgers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get Super Bowl winning state. No, you don't get the Dodgers.
Okay.
Super Bowl winning state, California. World Series winning state, New York.
Gotcha. So then the Yankees and the Mets.
Better than 13-1.
Well, look at. I love the Chargers, and I'm getting the Chargers about.
And you get the Rams.
Yeah, get the Rams. Get the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one.
That's not bad. Good for DraftKings. I mean,
yeah.
This is the time that you.
Oh, yeah.
This there's is going to be a lot of action on these apps the next 3 days.
This is when you talk to your operators. You talk to your people.
Get creative.
Yes, absolutely. This is the time. Can we create a buzz? Can we get a talking point? Can we get something that gets social media going? And these are the kind of ways that you do it. It's the same thing that we had way back in the winter when I went to Circa about college wrestling.
Right.
And it's just those different ways, different ideas to get people whatever it is. How many people in New York then looked at that? So, yeah, I'm going to take a shot here.
Sure.
Plus 1362, I think, is the number. Yes, I'll take a shot at that because I think the Mets or Yankees are going to do it. And then I got three teams in the NFL that I'm basically playing with. I can hedge off. And three teams that all should be pretty good, right? 49ers, Chargers, and Rams?
Of the three, I think the team that I would throw out, if I had to throw out one, is the defending champs.
Yes, absolutely. I think I'd be the same way, and certainly looking at odds, that would definitely be the direction that I'd go. So just a fun way to do it, and that's what you're going to see. I think a lot of these operators are doing just different ways during
really
the summer
well done.
To get involved and do it. But yeah, the George Kittle one, that one popped right away.
Yeah, 5.5 conference wins and 66.5 touchdown pass. Receptions.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he stays healthy, that's within his run. Well, it's unfortunate, but it's just the way he plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just reckless.
We have some breaking news, speaking of Iowa football. The question that we're wondering, who is going to Big Ten Media Days for the Hawkeyes?
Oh, this is fascinating, Trent. Save the one name if he is on there or isn't for last.
Okay. So we knew, at least we felt we knew.
How many are they taking, first of all?
Three.
Taking three, okay.
There are two defensive players and one offensive
player. Petrus isn't going. They're taking LaPorta.
They are. Sam LaPorta is your offensive player. He'll be going. Jack Campbell will be there, no surprise, preseason All-American. And Kayvon Merriweather will be there also from the defensive side of the
football. Well. What does that mean as far as the quarterback? Is this the right decision? If you take him, that means it's his job. If you don't, does that hurt his confidence at all? Because he was left behind. I like the move.
It's the right move.
It's the right move.
You can't do that. You said it was an open competition.
Said it was an open competition.
Nobody won
it. I agree.
Go back to that open practice. Petrus was not good. None of the quarterbacks were really good in that one.
Right.
But you can't just once again anoint him by sending him to Indianapolis in media days. Instead, we go to August. The questions are going to be asked. LaPorta's going to get it. Everybody's going to get it. And ultimately, it is going to be we are keeping this an open competition. Mm-hmm. Do you believe, how much better does Alex Padilla have to be during August camp to win that job? To trot out there.
Better than Petras, you mean?
How much better than Petras does he have to be?
Significantly, I think.
Yeah. If it's close, we know it's going to be
Petras. It's going to be Petras.
And if Padilla's just a little better?
It still might be Petras. I think it's Petras.
I think so, too. It has to be a significant gap. And how important that open Saturday was, that second Saturday.
It's early this year,
it's early, yeah. The kids' day practice that they have open. That one, if Petras struggles again.
Oof.
In that open practice, in front of the fans for the second time in a row, in an open practice. And then he trots out there, first series against South Dakota State.
Don't even go there.
Middle of the second, they're down 7-0. And another three and out. Ooh, the Boo Birds, they're going to be chirping. They are going to be chirping. Now, you're of the belief that Petras is going to be better.
I am. I think it's... I'm rooting for the guy, Trent. I really am. I mean... And I'm allowed to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm allowed to do that. Yeah. I just feel they're still young adults.
Right,
right.
This is a professional sport.
Right. And well, if I rip them if I have to, yes. I mean,
absolutely.
But I'm rooting for
them. And I'm the same way. If I am dead wrong about this, if Petras goes out there, he has a nice solid season, he throws for 2,400 yards, 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and Iowa goes 10-2, I was wrong.
Right. And I was wrong last year because I thought he'd take a step last year.
And there were times he unleashed a couple of plays. He would make those throws, and the throw against Penn State to Nico Reganey. Those plays are in there, but there's so many negatives, and they just continue to sit
just
there.
Just let
in the
it go. Yeah. Just throw the ball.
Enough with the Rapiopi, his quarterback guru, that's talking about 15 different things on a slant pass.
Yeah.
You think that's good for Spencer Petras?
No, I think it confuses him.
I'm right there with you. This is a guy that
just
has the arm
play ball.
Yes. Go out there and chuck it. Throw it around a little bit. Have some fun. Draw it in the dirt. You know, all those cliches. Yep. Do them all. Because for Spencer Petras, it's never been about arm talent. That's never been the problem. It's the brain lock that seemingly happens with him so many times.
I think it's a lack of confidence.
And when
he doesn't want to make a mistake.
Yeah. That's Iowa quarterbacks, right? They get beaten down, and there's so many of those.
Well, look, I think it's the right move taking Laporte. That's a pretty good trio that's going over to Indianapolis. Is everybody's list out?
I just got the Big Ten release. Yeah, I'll see if the Big Ten is.
And they're next Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday?
Next week it will be the 26th is what it has listed here. That must be the Iowa day. Here's the attendees as a whole. All right, here we go. Tuesday the 26th and Wednesday the 27th.
That's your first day of vacation.
It is. You're going to have a lot of details that you're going to be able to work through. You're going to be in good shape. You're all right.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
I get to practice tomorrow in the second hours. You're leaving for Iowa City, right?
That's right. Making my way over.
So where is the baseball going to air, by the way? Is it on the Bull?
It will be, yeah. Baseball tomorrow for the two quarterfinal games will have 2 o'clock, the Battle of Waukee. Waukee versus Waukee Northwest. How about that? In the first round of the state tournament. That game takes the air about 2 o'clock, probably a couple minutes before. As long as game one goes okay. Johnston will get Iowa City Liberty in the first game at 11:30. Not going to have the play-by-play for that one. Think the Dragons are going to roll. And I had a little birdie tell me today. So Pemble is their lefty senior starter. Really good. Thought he'd get the ball in game one. That's kind of what you do. Not going to be the case. In fact, they're going to either save him for the semifinals or maybe even the championship. But sounds like Willems, who I really like. I think he's the most talented guy that I saw out of them this year. Throws really hard, right-hander, bumps it up there 90.
So the Dragons, in your mind, are the team to beat?
They're a significant gap between them and everybody else. I think Iowa City High is very close to them. They're on the bottom side of the bracket. But the Johnstons, it sounds like they're going to go with Willems in game one against Liberty. That means against the winner, if they win against Waukee Northwest in the semifinal, they'd have Pemble available for that game. And then probably Pierce Anderson in the championship game.
So one game for you tomorrow?
2 games. Then Dowling Catholic plays at 5 o'clock. So we'll have the Maroons on the air against Cedar Rapids Prairie. Dowling the 6th seed. Prairie the 3 seed. Should be another good one there. Dowling's dealt with a lot of injuries this year. As talented as they are, have had a lot of arms that have had to shut it down. Still able to play in the field and those kind of things. But if they were healthy, I should say, Dowling might be the favorite. Because their top-end talent is that good. But they got 3 guys right now, some of their top pitchers that are not going to be available, it doesn't sound like, for the state tournament because of that. Starting with Prairie, who's really good in that program with Gary Rima's son running it. They've been really, really good throughout the years. That's going to be a tough one for them, but 5 o'clock for that one. So 2 and 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Which reminds me, I've got to unmute Gary Rima.
Oh, yeah? Why'd you have him on mute?
Because There was a, I don't know, last week, maybe one of the first games in Las Vegas in the Summer League.
Uh-huh.
Every single person who tweeted about A.J. Green, Reimer retweeted.
Oh, really?
Everyone.
So he had the notification search on, and every time it came up,
it's just
a retweet.
A retweet. Okay, enough. I get it.
Got to shut
He's
it
making
down.
A couple of threes, so I got to unmute him at all. So then you'll be back Thursday?
Thursday then is the semifinals for Class 4A.
Also on the Bull? Game or do you one, get KXNO?
Game one at 5 o'clock. That will be on the Bull.
Yeah.
7:30 is the second semifinal. That will be on KXNO.
Okay.
And then the championship, 7:30 on Friday night, also on KXNO. And I'm going to stay over, so I'm going to work remotely
on Thursday?
On Friday. So you and me will do the show together.
Yeah.
I'll be doing it from Iowa City. You'll be doing it from right here. And away we go. It's going to be a fun 3 days of baseball.
Have you seen the weather forecast? I mean, there's
hot.
I don't think there's much rain, if any, in the forecast.
And it's different than Principal Park, where we had a nice air-conditioned press box.
Yeah.
They put us radio guys just out in the bleachers, right in the front, in the last row up there, up against the press box. It's going to be a warm one. I'm going to be going to have to bring a couple of changes of clothes, I think, for this one, because it's going to be sweaty over in Iowa City.
Good stuff. All right, Matt Snyder's coming up. We'll save the baseball conversation for Matt Snyder. Look forward to speaking with him. He's in L.A. What else is going on? I can't talk about the major. Nobody cares about the Major League Baseball draft. You look for who your team picked. Right.
And then,
but that's about it. Although at the top, it was pretty cool to see major leaguers, former major leaguers' sons, both have an opportunity. And all the footage of Matt Holliday. Son Jackson, who went number one overall when he's a little boy. I mean, a little kid.
Well, he still looks like a little kid.
He does, doesn't he?
Man,
isn't that crazy?
He looks like he's 14.
Yeah.
He's the number one pick.
He's number one pick
at the MLB
draft. $8 million richer this morning than he was this time yesterday.
And Andrew Jones' son.
Now, there's a kid who's got some talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not Drew saying that Holliday doesn't by any means, but watching some of the video I've seen on Andrew Jones' kid, boy, oh boy. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So you watch who your team drafts, and that's about it. Baseball from over the weekend, we kind of touched on a little bit. The Twins and the White Sox, going to be a hell of a race. I think it's going to be a hell of a race. And they don't see each other now till September.
Is that what it is?
They don't play again until September.
Wow. This is going to be a long, drawn-out process. Well, suddenly we went from the White Sox going into the series Thursday, and we said, you know, if they do well, you become buyers again.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes poorly, goes the other way. So now you're readjusting, figuring out what you need to be, how healthy are they going to be, what's Jimenez going to be in the second half, as he didn't play at all, right, over the weekend.
You know, they talked to, I watched and listened to Benetti and Stone. Benetti wasn't there yesterday.
Oh, okay.
No, Jimenez did not, he did not get into the game.
Mm-hmm. So but he's close. Probably,
yeah, he's close. I think he could have played.
If they didn't have the All-Star break, he probably would have played Saturday or Sunday.
Or goes tonight at the very least.
Right.
And if they would have needed him to come off the bench yesterday,
they didn't.
It was 11-0. And here's the crazy part about it. Archie was really good early.
He was.
He was really good early. And then the fourth inning happened, or the fifth inning happened. It just, not good.
Dylan Cease was great.
He was. So great that I decided to take a stab at him 11-1 to win the Cy Young in the American League.
Was this...
No, it was early. It was in the afternoon.
It was before 8:30. Okay.
Yeah. Now... Yeah, I mean, I didn't stick with the game. It was so out of hand. The Cubs are okay to watch. And I'm telling you, because they're not going anywhere.
No.
And it's Boog and JD, and I love the broadcast. And the Mets beat them on Saturday in two extra inning games. Mm-hmm. They had a doubleheader. Both went to extras. And then the Cubs got them by a run. They're fighting. I mean, is that good enough for professionals to show up and try hard? Bars sit pretty low if that's what your expectations are. But anyways, we'll talk to Matt Snyder. We'll head to L.A. next. He's there for the festivities. Home Run Derby tonight. What time does it start? Is it 7?
I don't see like the official start time for it. Let's see. I don't even have it listed here, at least in the app that I go for all my TV viewing. I would guess 7 o'clock. What?
Yeah.
Probably 10 minutes of fluff, and then you get into it by 7:10 or so. Dodger Stadium. Packed house. Good venue.
Yeah, I mean, look, every year I'm not going to watch it. But what else is on?
There's only so much Swamp People you can watch.
I caught up this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, last night in particular, I caught up on the Swampers. 12-footers, 14 or 13-footer in the boat. Troy was in a little trouble.
He was?
Yeah.
They had
to go to commercial. They made me sit through a commercial break.
And you sat right there. You didn't want to miss
it. Didn't budge, but they got the game.
Shoot it! Shoot him!
We'll take a timeout to 10:25. Miller and Condon. Time for another $1,000 home run. Go to KXNO.com. Once you get there, enter the keyword at this nationwide contest. Check, check is the keyword in the 10 o'clock hour. Check at KXNO.com. We'll have another keyword coming up at about this time, about an hour from now. But for right now, it is check, check at KXNO.com. Miller and Condon, joined by Matt Snyder from the All-Star Festivities next. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
For details. Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon. Just past 10:30 on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dials. We take you up until noon. Hour number two, Nick Olson on Iowa State, Scott Dockerman on Iowa. Trent's picking the Home Run Derby, sponsored by Circa Sports. Matt Snyder's out in Los Angeles covering the Major League, all the festivities for CBSSports.com, and he joins us. Matt, Trent, Ken, thanks for coming on, Matt Snyder. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to the day, especially the Home Run Derby.
Well, you know, it's a fascinating event. Do you think it's losing any of its luster? I mean, there was a couple of, I don't know, a week ago or so, it seemed like, boy, they're struggling to find eight guys that want to participate in this. Is it losing any of its appeal, do you think, Matt?
Not to me, no. I'm incredibly excited for it. In 2014, I would have said absolutely yes. That was the last year before they implemented the clock, and I thought it was an absolute snooze fest. And you just, guys taking pitch after pitch after pitch and just standing there in the box. And it's like, why are you making the pitcher throw it if you don't want to swing? But now with the clock, I think it's amazing.
It's a big step up. So who's your favorite? Who you like coming in to the night here? And the also the other part of it, you know, the guys that decided not to go. Who would have been, in your mind, a great addition if they all would have had to say yes? Who would you like to see most in this derby?
Well, Mike Trout has said many times that he would do it one year, maybe. It's always like, yeah, I might do it one year, and then he doesn't do it. He's a little bit of an injury issue right now, so he's been scratched from the game, so he couldn't do it this year because of that. But I want to see Trout do it at least one time. While he's still in his prime. And I felt like this year he was having such a good power year. In L.A., a little bit close to Anaheim, I thought this would have been a good time for him to do it. So a little bit disappointed in that. But favorite, I think it's got to be Pete Alonso. He's won the last two. Mm-hmm. You know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. stole the show in Cleveland.
He sure did.
And Alonso was the winner. And then last year, Alonso was just ridiculous on Coors Field. So I think Alonso's got to be the favorite. I hate kind of saying Schwarber just because it looks like I'm going chalk, but this isn't like an actual tournament where, you know, like the seeds are based on who's the best at their derby. It's just based on who has the most regular season home runs. But I think Schwarber's going to put on a show as well.
Well, and what time does it get underway? Is it 7 Central, Matt?
Yes.
7 Central, good stuff.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about Juan Soto, who turned down $440 million. Man, it just seems to me, if you're turning down that much money, isn't that a I don't want to play here type of moment for him? Is that what it says to you? That's how I took it, to turn down that much. And, you know, that was, maybe he could have got another $10 million or whatever his number was. I'm not so sure if the Nationals would have met that number that he would have accepted. It sounds to me like he just wants out.
Probably, yeah. I mean, they've already won a World Series there. He's already seen Bryce Harper and Ethan Rendon walk. They're in bad shape right now. So, yeah, it's probably a situation where he wants to go. I mean, you can look at a contrasting situation would be like Jose Ramirez signing with Cleveland for much, much, much less money than he could have gotten on the open market, and him saying, like, well, how much more money do I need? I really love it here. That shows somebody who genuinely does want to stay in a place for their career. Mm-hmm. And I think Soto is a situation where it seems pretty obvious he just doesn't want to. Because, like you said, okay, 15 years, 440, when you talk about the years, maybe there's a chance, I would say a small chance, but maybe there's a chance that he ends up making more money throughout his career if he goes somewhere else and signs a shorter deal and then he hits free agency twice or something. But, man, there's just so much unknown in a baseball career. $440 million, it's just hard to imagine definitely making that much going another route. So, yeah, it says to me that he just doesn't want to be there.
Ohtani also is going to be coming out into the open market here in a year and a half. Well, he's like Juan Soto offensively. But, oh, by the way, right. He also pitches.
Yeah.
He's older. What kind of deal on an open market is Shohei Ohtani going to command? Are we talking $50, $60 million a year for this two-way player that we've never seen before?
Yeah, maybe. I've had a few people ask me that, and every single time I'm like, you know what? I have absolutely no idea, because it's like two players.
Yeah,
he really is. He's like two all-stars, but pitchers break. So it's like, well, how do you value that? It's very hard to figure. It's 50 sounds right, maybe more, but again, it's just hard to know how you can value that, because he's kind of like two players, but it's still one guy, and like I said, pitchers break. It's tough to know, but man, it's going to be fun to see what kind of figures are being thrown around, because it's going to be absurd.
It really is. And then where he lands. So back to Soto. Is it the usual suspect when it comes to where Juan Soto's going to call home? Is it the Yankees or the Mets, or somehow the Dodgers will find a way to keep him? Is there a dark horse team out there? I'll throw one out. Maybe. What about the Cubs, who've got boatloads of cash that they want to spend, and they apparently, listening to Cappy, they didn't spend that money this year, but that money still is going to roll over. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's what they're telling Cap. What about the Cubs and Soto?
Yeah, absolutely, it could work. It has to be a gigantic market, so I would think you could cross anybody off who is not a large market. I would assume, I don't know this is sourced, but I would assume that he wants to be in a situation where it looks like he's going to win soon. I don't know if the Cubs work as well there. I don't know how sure they are that they're going to be competing soon, but the Mets and the Dodgers surely are high on the list. Yankees as well would be an option, maybe down to the Cubs. I could add a dark horse, I guess, since you wanted one. The Rangers, just the way they threw around money in the Dallas and Arlington area, it is a large market. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't think of it that way, but it is.
Yep. And no state taxes in Texas? Do I have that right?
That's the short list. What's that?
Is there state taxes in Texas or no?
I don't believe so.
Gosh, off the top of my head, I don't know.
I don't think you pay state tax. And
money goes a little bit further.
Absolutely.
There in Florida and a couple other places. Yeah. Well, looking towards the second half of the year, we're already past the halfway point, but this is where we really dive in. And I've told you before, Matt, I love what you guys have at CBSSports.com on your standings page, the projections from Sportsline of all the teams. Mm-hmm. So looking at the division, the American League Central that I watch most, and your favorite right now, according to their projections, are the White Sox, as they win the division just shy of 50% of the time. Cleveland, second at 31%. And now the Twins, just 19% of the time, they win the division. Is that how you see it, too? White Sox, if it's not the White Sox, it's Cleveland, then Minnesota? Or do you still believe in my Twinkies?
I would like to act like I'm being bold when I say it. But, yeah, like you said, with the projections saying the White Sox, I do think the White Sox are the most talented team in the division, mm-hmm. and being only three games out, they're in a good spot. So I think it's the White Sox. I think that's probably one of those situations where at the end of the season, we look back and we're like, man, they had so many things go wrong for them in the first half, but they hung around, just enabled themselves to make that run in the second half. So, yeah, I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if the Twins hold on, because I still like them a decent amount. Something about the Guardians, maybe just offensively, maybe it's because the bullpen's so bad, but I just don't like the Guardians at all. So I'll ticket them for third place. Heck, maybe even fourth place. I know they're 10 games ahead of the Tigers, but I'm not a fan of the Guardians at all. I think it's going to be White Sox and Twins, down to the wire.
Is that, I was going to say, how many actual divisions will have races? Obviously, the East and the Central in the National League, right?
Yeah.
And the only division.
I think that the Braves and Mets will probably go down to the wire. Yeah. Brewers, Cardinals, yep, down to the wire. West is over. Wow, it's up to 10 games in the NL West. That happened really fast.
It was
only a couple weeks ago. It was like two games. Both Wests are over. The AL East is over. Yeah, so it'd be both Centrals and the NL East, and that's it. But the wild cards, I think both sides will be really, really fun, and a lot of teams will be involved.
We know baseball more and more has become such a regional sport, and it's so important, which is great for us because we got a lot of regional teams that we can talk about here. But across the nation, that's what it is. It's about your local team, and that's it. For baseball as a whole, how important would a Yankees-Dodgers World Series be to not just huge markets, but huge brands to go along with it in a more and more regional sport? How important would that be for your game and a chance maybe to grow it going forward?
Yeah, I think that would be huge. Generally speaking, I don't love those types of matchups because it gives everybody a chance to, oh, yep, this is what MLB wants. It wants those huge markets, and that's annoying. but, man, we haven't had Dodgers-Yankees in, what, 1981? So it's been a long time.
Wow.
You get both coasts in on it. Two gigantic markets, two gigantic fan bases. And, I mean, let me tell you, they love the Dodgers here in L.A. Mm-hmm. Right when you get out of the airport, you see Dodgers stuff all over the sides of the highways and everything. It's like this really is a mega, mega market with a really emphatic fan base. So it's, man, Dodgers-Yankees would be really fun. And like I said, it seems easy and obvious. Oh, it's a huge market. But no, I think it would be a really fun series. It's two fun teams.
Which airport did you fly into, LAX?
No, Burbank.
Attaboy.
I like getting out of the plane and walking outside.
Isn't it a great airport? Yeah. And you know what? I should stop talking about it because I don't want to. It is the best. Well, by far, if you have to go to L.A., it's a throwback airport. It really and truly
is.
That's
great.
Oh, absolutely. So the most disappointing team in the first half of the baseball season is?
It might be the Angels. I mean, going into the season, you always kind of want to temper your expectations because it's the Angels. But when they were in first place and they were 10, 12 games over 500, it's like, hey, they're actually going to be contenders. They're brutal. They're just awful now. 20 and a half out of first place now. Yeah.
That's the answer.
It's got to be them.
I think you're right.
Yep. Yeah.
MVP.
Unfortunate.
In the American League in the first half, wherever. For the first 3 months, it felt like this was Aaron Judge. He was going to coast
run
in.
Away.
Ohtani, what he has done on the bump, along with, of course, what he does offensively. You talked about him earlier. Judge or Ohtani, who's your pick?
I think it's Ohtani, actually. And Ohtani has two things going against him that aren't even remotely his fault.
Right.
Number one, his team is bad.
Right.
But as I've said so many times about baseball, this is not basketball where you can have one player control the game. You just can't. He can only bat once every nine times. He can only pitch when it's his day to pitch. In terms of being the most valuable player to your team, it's a guy who is an all-star pitcher and an all-star hitter. I just don't think there's anybody else in that stratosphere. The second thing that's going against him is fatigue. If people are tired of talking about him, then they just don't want to vote for him. And again, how is that his fault? If he's the most valuable, he's the most valuable. I don't care if you're tired of talking about him. That's why I'm Ohtani, but I'm good with Judge, too. Unless Ohtani keeps up what he's been doing the last 6 weeks or so when he's been basically the best pitcher in baseball, in addition to being an all-star hitter, unless he keeps that up, my hunch is both things that Ohtani cannot control, his teammates and voter fatigue, will swing the thing to Judge.
Here's a prop. Does Baltimore finish last in the American League East?
Yeah.
You think they do still?
I don't think they're as good as they've been playing. Mm-hmm. I think it's really fun that they're winning so many games.
Too.
And it's a great, great story that they're 500. But if you look at the talent on all five teams in the East, they're easily the worst team there. And since they're already there, even though it's close, only a game and a half behind the Red Sox. But since they're already there, and I think they have the worst personnel, they're going to finish last.
Does Seattle make the playoffs?
I'm going to go with yes. I don't think they're as good as some of the AL East contenders, but those AL East teams have to beat up on each other. And if you look at the AL West, between the Rangers, who are subpar, the Angels are bad, the A's are terrible, the Mariners are going to have a lot of winnable games in there. So, yeah, I think they're going to, obviously, similar to what I said with the Orioles, the Mariners aren't as good as they're playing. They've won 14 in a row right
now. That's
crazy. They're not that good, but I do think that they're a good enough team to grab, like, the third wild card. And that'll be really exciting to see them break that drought.
You mentioned Oakland. They stink. Bad baseball team.
Played Houston tough this weekend.
Their mail, though, in a couple of years? Are they going to get the new stadium in Oakland, or is it Vegas or Destination X that they're ultimately going to be?
I think it's a bad decision, but I do think that they're going to end up in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're making progress with Oakland, but it's taken them how many years just to get to step number two?
Mm-hmm.
And every single time they come up with, hey, here's another plan, Oakland doesn't like it. Or Oakland says, why don't you do this on the current site that you're on? And then the team doesn't like it. So I feel like Vegas is probably going to happen. And the reason I say I think it's a bad decision is this is a totally different situation than, for example, football. In football, you have 8 home games, and every single team's fan base you might have a decent number of people who have a disposable enough income to go travel. Hey, we're playing in Vegas this year. Let's go to Vegas and watch the game.
Yeah.
Well, in baseball, there's 81 home games, and I don't know how much of an appetite there is to travel just to see like a 3-game series in Vegas. And it would be, I think, the smallest market in baseball for the home market. It might be right there with Milwaukee. But, man, that small of a market for 81 home games, I'm just not seeing it. So that's why I think it's a mistake, but I do think it's going
to
happen.
Last thing for me, worth the wait to stand in line or totally overrated? Go grab some peanuts, Dodger dogs.
Oh, that's worth it. Yeah.
Is it?
It's worth the wait.
Okay.
Yeah, they're good.
I've never been. What's the stadium like? I mean, that's number one on my baseball bucket list. Never been to Dodger Stadium.
It's gorgeous.
Yep.
Especially if you enter on the home plate side.
Okay.
And you just look over and you see the mountains over center field. It's a very, very gorgeous stadium. But the reason I have stumped for Dodgers fans over the years and everybody talking trash about them being like a late arriving and early leaving crowd is because it is absolute hell, terror to try to get out of that stupid parking lot.
Yeah.
If I could take that stadium and like drop it somewhere else and you have like a bunch of cool bars and sports bars around the stadium and public transportation and get out of there quickly, man, it would be maybe number one. It would be up there, but the parking lot situation is a terror.
Good stuff, Matt Snyder. We'll read all your coverage of the All-Star, the Home Run Derby tonight, the All-Star game, etc., as we always do at CBSSports.com. Matt Snyder, talk to you next week. Thanks for popping on, Matt. Enjoy it.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Good stuff out of Matt. We'll come back. It's 10 minutes before 11. Again, if you missed the keyword earlier, it's check in this hour. Check at KXNO.com. Another one coming up in about 30 minutes. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.
Perry Meadows.
Minutes before 11, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Nick Olson, Covers Iowa State for CycloneAlert.com. He'll kick off hour number two, Scott Dockerman in The Athletic, at 11:30. Did you read the long piece on Brian Ferentz?
I got through most of it. Didn't get as deep into kind of the middle portion that I
it's
wanted to.
It's a long read.
And I will get back into that, but so intriguing going back to that, of course, 55-24 Ohio State game.
Everything worked out that day.
And what they were doing, and right away, first play of the game, doing something to find out.
And it didn't work. But they got what they wanted. They got the answer as far as how the Buckeyes were setting their defense.
It goes to once again show you, look, when we come up with negatives with Brian Ferentz or any offensive coordinator, it's not that we think they're dumb or they don't know football.
Right.
But there's also a part of it that is something you just have to be able to feel. Kind of that you can't put your finger on it. It's not quantitative. It just right spot, right time. Do you know how to call a game?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for a catcher in
and
baseball.
And when to call a game.
Absolutely, and that's a part of it. And that's the part as an offensive coordinator, and they talked about it right away, where it's complementary football. We're not going to run 95 plays a game. We're not going to go up-tempo because we are playing also with the defense, and there's teams that do it that way. But look how it also taxes the defense. And reading that part of it, I thought, was really intriguing and just getting behind it. Do I think Brian Ferentz is a great offensive coordinator? I don't. But I think he's hamstrung, too.
Right. Because ultimately,
yes.
Yeah, not necessarily his shots to call.
Right. It is still going to be what Kirk wants.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what it's going to be.
No, I thought he opened up. I thought he was very forthcoming to Doc. It's you carve out some time to read it. And you'll probably have to go back, and there are parts that you want to read again, like Trent mentioned.
Yep.
But I think it's worthwhile. So anyway, Scott Dockerman coming up on that. You know, we got training camps that open today in the NFL. How about that?
That
well,
is
for rookies,
wonderful.
But still.
Yeah, it's opening.
The ribbon has been cut.
Yes.
The ribbon has been cut. Vegas and one other started today.
Is it Baltimore?
Might be. Let me look. Buffalo.
Gone are the halcyon days, though, where...
Two-a-days?
Yeah, the two-a-days.
Pads both times?
Guys that they're in some dorm, in some up in Eau Claire.
You know, I think there was one team, maybe not dorms, but hotels, because a lot of times players are staying in their own beds, going home.
It's so different.
Uh-huh.
We talked about this a week or two ago. The Saints played their training camp the first month. They were in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. The New Orleans Saints were in Wisconsin.
La Crosse, is that where it was?
Yeah, I think so. That's the way that it was for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they'd be in these small colleges, staying in dorm rooms, staying in crappy hotels. NFL players were doing this.
Water break. No, not now.
And now you look at like Minnesota, what the Vikings have with their new performance center and Bourbonnais for the Bears and just how different it is. And the Chiefs, they go to St. Joe now. Which is, I guess, a little bit, but guys hopping on a bike. They're riding back to the dorm on a bike. I don't think you're going to see Patrick Mahomes hopping on a bike and having to make a couple-mile drive back on the bike to get back to a dorm room for a couple of weeks.
Good stuff. It is here. All right, the 11 o'clock hour, it is here. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Iowa State Conversation kicks off the second hour of the program. Nick Olson going to join us for that. Then Scott Dockerman on Iowa, if you missed it. Merriweather, Campbell, Laporta headed to Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days representing the Hawks. Trent and I have another hour to go. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.